This is John Gramstrand, and I'm a certified energy specialist for CHS Ag Services in Stephen, Minnesota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Thursday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Randy Conan. We'll also hear reports from Whitney Pittman and Sierra Doctor. Looking at the radar this morning, we're seeing a low-pressure system moving slowly across the region into the weekend, bringing widespread 1 to 2 inch rains expected through Sunday. World Weather Incorporated says field work and planting will become sluggish or come to a complete standstill until that rain event ends. Drier weather next week should lead to more aggressive planting. Rains this morning mostly confined to the southern portions of Minnesota and South Dakota. It is moving northward, though. There's another band of rain showers in far northwestern North Dakota and neighboring areas of Montana and southern Saskatchewan. University of Minnesota Extension agronomist Seth Nave says while this spring has seen a lot of cold temperatures and snow, planting progress is still ahead of last year.
We're catching up a little bit. We were at 1% last week, and now we're at 13% officially. So certainly, you know, as on the corn side, we got a lot of planted over the weekend. So we're definitely catching up. In the historical average is 21%. And last year we were just at 2% this week. So, you know, I think we're doing okay. This is, we've had a little bit of a tough spring here with a lot of snow, cold weather going very late this season.
Both corn and soybeans are getting put in the ground.
I feel really good about where we're at. We're definitely getting soybeans in along with the corn. And so whether farmers are planting both simultaneously or farmers have just banged out quite a bit of their corn and now are working on soybeans in some of these areas, it's a little bit hard to tell. But driving around the state last week, I did see a lot of soybeans going in south central Minnesota. So I think it's just going to follow through western Minnesota and then into northwest as we get a little bit better temperatures coming up.
USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey says drought over the past week has increased the percentage of topsoils that are short of moisture across the country.
We're seeing the U.S. with surplus topsoil moisture standing at 11%, a 1 percentage point drop from last week. And at the same time, we are at 30% very short to short. That is a 2 percentage point increase from the previous week. New Mexico leads the nation 74% very short to short. Kansas close behind at 73%. Nebraska 66%. Missouri this week at 44% very short to short. So keeping a close eye on that.
And also parts of the country that have too much topsoil moisture.
On the wet side, as of May 7th, we do see some patchy wetness primarily in the eastern Corn Belt, parts of the Mid-South. Ohio coming in this week, 38% surplus. Elsewhere in the Midwest, we see a 28% surplus number coming in from Wisconsin and Michigan.
Nomination series hearings have started for the Deputy Ag Secretary position at USDA. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Sierra Doctor has more.
A confirmation hearing for the nominee for the Deputy Ag Secretary took place yesterday. USDA Undersecretary for Rural Development, Sochil Torrey Small, testified in front of the Senate Ag Committee for the position.
My own roots are both rural and urban, agricultural and international development, blue collar and white collar. And what I love about this department is that it brings all of those things together. The nutrition that fuels our lives means that we are all, each of us, connected to America's farmers. We're all connected by land. We're all connected by resources, and we're all connected by food. But I'm not only familiar with what it's like to grapple with multiple views, I truly believe that that difference of opinion is what makes our country stronger.
Torrey Small says the Department of Ag has challenges like funding.
But I also know that our employees at Rural Development and USDA face significant challenges, whether it's outdated technology that hinders their ability to comply with congressional directives, antiquated loan and grant applications that mean we're not serving the people who need and deserve our support, and the ongoing need to do more less with less, which sometimes means accepting retirements while also maintaining a hold on hiring. That's why I'm eager to work with you, to roll up my sleeves, because the people of this department, it's the glue that connects our programs together and much more importantly connects our programs to the people who deserve our support.
If confirmed by the Senate, Tory Small would succeed Jule Brona as Deputy Secretary. Reporting Agriculture's Business, I'm Sierra Doctor on the Red River Farm Network.
This is the Red River Farm Network. Thursday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. USDA will release the latest World Agriculture Supply and Demand Estimate, or WASDE, report on Friday. Ag Outlook Board Chairman Mark Jekinowski says the report will include the first new crop U.S. estimates using the March planting intentions acreage as a starting point.
Staying ahead of weed control can be...
And then we apply our own yield forecasts to those acreage estimates to come up with total production for each crop.
The report will also include crop estimates for Brazil and Argentina.
This is still a really important period in South America. The soybean harvest is winding down. It's kind of reaching into the southernmost parts of Brazil right now. And there, you know, there's a lot of attention this time of year that starts to turn toward the outlook for the second crop corn harvest, which, you know, that's the corn that was planted right after the soybeans that were recently harvested. So there's, you know, it's still a critical period in for global agriculture.
Well, now's the time to get ahead of weeds. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Whitney Pittman has that story.
Staying ahead of weed control can be a challenge. University of Minnesota Extension weed scientist Deblin Serenge says while it's a rush to get crops in the ground, weeds are already starting to emerge, and pre-emerge herbicide should also be a priority.
Lamb's quarter is already up. Giant ragweed is already up. So yeah, like we are rushing for soybean and corn planting, but weeds are also rushing to come up. And as I recommend every year that your sprayer should follow your planter. Don't be too behind and then you cannot catch up anymore. So the pre-emergence should be down and it should be within 3 days of the crop planting. That's what we say, because most of the pre-emergence should be down before your crop emerges.
While pre-emerge herbicide is important, it's key to continue to monitor fields. Weeds can emerge at any time throughout the growing season.
And with the soil moisture and warm days, the soybean and corn will be up soon. So it is better to put those pre-emergence down. And water hemp, like it is, it can emerge throughout the season. It's not like the emergence is done. It's just started. And it will keep emerging throughout the season. So it is better that we put some pre's down so that we can control some of the early emerging cohorts of water hemp and some other weeds like lamb's quarters. And then maybe we have to come back with post-emergence in the future.
Reporting Agriculture's Business, I'm Whitney Pittman on the Red River Farm Network.
Well, market analysts and traders are going to be watching next week's Kansas wheat tour closely to get a handle on how much crop damage has been done to that crop. Northern Crops Marketing and Investments President Brad Paulson has driven through Kansas.
I went through Kansas here over the weekend, and that Kansas crop is way worse than I even thought, or what you hear of high abandonment, low crop conditions, and that's what's keeping the Minneapolis and Kansas City market somewhat strong. That Kansas City-Chicago spread didn't hit a new record high today also, which is kind of interesting.
Paulson is kind of wondering how much abandonment that wheat tour will find.
It is quite bad. It's almost unbelievable. It's every pasture you drive by is just burnt brown yet. There's hardly any green anywhere in the ground down there. So it's getting late. It's, you know, the 10th of May, and they like to have their corn in by the 10th of May, they were telling me. And most of that hasn't started because they thought it was too dry to even plant on irrigation pipets.
Army cutworm caterpillar have been found in winter wheat in central South Dakota. Cutworm activity is expected to increase as temperatures rise across the state. Management is recommended if large patches of the fields have been defoliated or if 2 to 4 army worms are observed per square foot. Minnesota Farm Bureau Federation working on a project that supports lake restoration research along with the Minnesota Corn Growers Association, the Crystal Waters Project, and others in collaboration with St. Cloud State University and the University of Minnesota Southwest Research and Outreach Center. The project aims to expand on sustainable regenerative agriculture production. This is the Red River Farm Network. Good morning. Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Pasture and range conditions have improved across the U.S. since last year, but conditions remain poor across the plains. According to the USDA, Kansas has set records in some of the worst conditions in history. USDA's first look at pasture and range conditions showed 33% is rated good to excellent and 37% rated poor to very poor. Around Ada, Minnesota, the moisture from the most recent rain events was almost welcome, according to Mustang Seeds District Sales Representative Jay Merkins.
You know, it started out, we thought we were going to have quite a long spring, but it changed quickly when the sun came out and the wind started blowing, and it almost got a little too dry there for a while. And then that little shot of rain we got really got things moistened up again, and it actually looks pretty decent out right now.
Merkin says planting progress is not behind schedule yet, and that recent rains have helped get rid of most remaining snow in the tree rows.
I don't think we're delayed right now. If this rain, they say it's supposed to keep coming all week, but don't really need a lot more. I guess right now it'd be nice to get the crops in and then get some rain, but right now. Looks like everything's coming around really well. You know, you get a few places where you see some snow and the water coming out into the fields. Might have to leave some headlands around some trees if they are able to get going again. But no, that rain really took the snow and the trees down too, I think.
Scientists have collaborated to produce the first gene-edited calf with resistance to bovine viral diarrhea virus, BVD. The BVD costs the U.S. cattle industry billions of dollars annually. The virus is highly contagious among cattle and can cause severe respiratory and intestinal diseases. And South Korea's Ministry of Agriculture saying several hundred cattle there will be culled and stronger biosecurity measures will be implemented after several cases of foot and mouth disease were confirmed. Those cases mark the first confirmed since January of 2019. Checking markets before we leave you this morning. July wheat Minneapolis is down 7.5, September down 7.75, Chicago July wheat's down 4.75, and Kansas City July is down 4.5. July corn down 3.25, December corn down 4, July soybeans down 6.75, November down 6, July canola trading $7 a metric ton lower. On the farm calendar, NDSU Animal Science hosting a beef field day on the 24th. That'll be in Fargo at the Beef Cattle Research Complex and NDSU Beef Unit. Also, U.S. Meat Export Federation, USMEF, has their spring conference in Minneapolis. That begins May 24th, runs through the 26th. North Dakota's Junior Red Angus Association field day, June 3rd and 4th. Well, thanks for joining us. Have a great day. This is the Red River Farm Network.